Okay, it's 8:07, 34 degrees downtown Charles City. I'm loving the fact that it's above freezing on December 21st. Good morning, Kay Winkleman.
Good morning, Chris Berg. It is indeed an odd December Christmas, right before Christmas week, I guess you should say, but we'll take it.
I don't know. This is like my Christmas gift from Mother Nature, I think. I'm always wishing for warm weather on Christmas. I'm sorry for those that like snow. With us, joining us via a phone line this morning as part of Community Conversations, brought to you as always by Floyd County Medical Center. It is a construction day today. We have Iowa DOT's Pete Helmstead joining us. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you guys?
I am doing excellent. So off air, you're talking about the fact that you like to ice fish, but even you are not complaining about the nice weather.
Yeah, I've been too busy to get out anyway, so it can get cold in January. I'll have time to ice fish then.
That's right. And I mean, there is indications that possibly late next week could be a little bit dicey too, so we'll have to wait and see on that. Well, first and foremost, the Floyd Interchange, of course, that opened last month. Traffic flowing pretty good through there. Is there anything else that remains work-wise?
We do have to remove the median crossovers, so that will be done next year. And you'll probably see some landscaping or erosion control seeding work done, but nothing that should have a major impact on traffic. When they do remove the median crossovers, you'll probably see a inside lane closure. But other than that, we are pretty much done over there, and traffic is using it as they should.
Check mark off your list. That is amazing.
That's a big
project.
That's a big one.
Phew. That's great. Hey, how is the Lansing Bridge construction going?
It's moving ahead. Tuesday, the contractor started driving the pile for the furthest east pier on the Wisconsin side. We do test shaft before these projects. We do all kinds of different soil borings and everything to know what we're dealing with, to know how deep down we're going to have to put these drilled concrete shafts that will support the piers. And they do a test shaft. So they are doing that right now. The auger bit that they are using is 9 feet wide, and it's going down over 100 feet into bedrock. And they will fill that with concrete, as it is a normal shaft or whatever that would be used for the bridge, and then do some load testing on it to make sure that the soil conditions are what we found in the soil borings. And everything checks out, they'll move ahead and start doing the drilled shafts for the other piers that are in the river.
It's a cool project. And it's
It is. There are seven different cranes set up out there right now.
Wow.
Working, including one that's a 300-ton crane. That's a very, very large crane for a construction site. So it's a pretty impressive scene.
I have not been that direction, but I would love to go take a drive and just to check it out. You know, and the river is probably so low, not that that has much to do with anything. I don't know if it does or not, but the river itself has to be quite low at this, especially now with the lack of moisture we've had.
No, and that does have actually a lot to do with it, and that's one of the reasons you see some of this construction starting in the fall or during the winter, because the river is usually at its lowest levels during this time of year. And when we build the piers in the water, they build what's called cofferdams. And it's more or less, they drive sheet pile into the riverbed, and that sheet pile is connected, and it more or less makes like a big rectangle. And they pump the water out of that. The sheet pile then holds the water out so they can work in that area in the middle of the river in a dry area.
Wow, that's crazy.
So
that's cool.
With the water being lower, it makes it a lot easier to deal with it. And again, that's why they try to get this work done before spring hits, because obviously spring is the highest of the water levels. So everything is done for a reason, even though it doesn't always look like it.
And
sometimes.
See, then I knew that bit of information without really knowing about the water levels.
Oh, there you go.
That's awesome. Of course, there is a website you can go to kind of keep tabs on that construction project. Maybe you don't even know about this, but it's on the iowadot.gov website. I know I'm trying to look for it now, and I found it before. Now I can't find it. So,
I not only know about it, I helped put it together.
Oh, there you go. So share the link just so I know what it is, because I can't find it.
There's also a Facebook page that is dedicated solely to the project. And if you just go to Facebook and search Mississippi River Bridge at Lansing, you'll find it very easy.
Okay. So we can keep updated that way. That's really a great thing. Great to know.
Yeah, and as construction gets going more and more, in fact, depending on the weather, I may go over there next week and get some more drone photos of some of the happenings over there. I do have some drone things up there from a couple months ago that I went and got as they were doing tree clearing and for the groundbreaking ceremony and things like that. So we are doing what we can to keep the page active, and it will get even more active in the coming weeks after the first of the year, because pretty soon they will have barges out on the river with cranes on them and putting in those cofferdams and starting to work on the new piers for the new bridge. So activity is going to be picking up both in the river and online for that project.
And I love the drone footage. It adds another sort of excitement to the project, because you did that same thing for the Floyd Interchange too, and I can't remember any other time that we had drone footage of construction going on Iowa highways. Are you the first one to do that drone for the Iowa DOT?
I am the only drone pilot in our district. We have a drone pilot in each one of our districts. I think I'm a little more active as far as the construction stuff than some of the others. I mean, don't get me wrong, they use it for construction as well too. But yeah, it's the last several years we've been doing more and more with it. It depends on the project. It depends on the area where the project is. But we are going to be seeing more and more use of that drone for things like that, especially for some of the larger projects like the Floyd Interchange, like the Lansing Bridge. We'll be working on a new interchange project north of Janesville starting next year. So you'll probably see some more drone footage of that. So yeah, it's something that will continue, and I can only imagine where it's going to go. It continues to increase with use.
Technology is just amazing these days, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, really is.
And I got to give you props, because I'm scared to even fly one without, like, the fear of crashing it. That's a lot of money wasted if you crash it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, if you're not careful, you can get yourself into trouble. But the drone we have is probably, I believe it's 5 years old now. So it, technology-wise, it's way behind the curve, but it's still, you have to be pretty ignorant to screw up and crash them. It's amazing. It is really amazing what they can do. But like I said, you do still have to be careful. One of the things that people I don't think realize is the licensing procedure and how intense and serious it is. It is an FAA license, and you have to go take a proctored test. I had to go to Blackhawk Community College in Waterloo and sit in a room by myself with no wallet or cell phone or anything and on camera to take the test.
Wow.
And you have to renew it every couple years. It's not just going in and paying a fee like your driver's license. You have to be tested again, not proctored, but it is an online test that you are timed, and it's through the FAA. So the testing process is a little more intense than most people realize. The testing is almost harder than flying the drone.
Oh, that's humorous. Did not know anything about the old proctor test, so that's good to know. So we are speaking with Pete Helmstead from the Iowa DOT. I'm looking at 511ia.org, and besides the Lansing Bridge construction, there really isn't much going on. Am I missing anything?
Not in our area. I mean, you're going to see, like in Mason City along Highway 65, in preparation for the reconstruction project on that road that'll start next year, there's a lot of utility relocation going on. So you're seeing lane closures here and there. But yeah, other than that, in our district, I think that is pretty much it. And the other thing you're seeing on 511ia.org is a bunch of green roads, which means good winter driving condition, which is really nice to see this time of year.
Well, and that leads us to our final topic of the day. You know, yeah, normally by now we do have some snow and have more than likely have had some dicey weather, which we have not yet. It's going to happen.
Sooner or later, we are in
Iowa. So what are the top things the general public can do to help the DOT when we do get snow and there is snow removal that will take place on highways? What can we as a public do to help the DOT with that?
The big thing is when you see a snowplow, number one, if they're in front of you, you're going to come up on that plow pretty quickly because they're going a lot slower than you are, more likely. So slow down and then give them room. Don't crowd them. Give them room to do their job. The other thing that I think people forget about sometimes is to turn on your headlights. So many of us, including myself, have them set on automatic so we don't have to worry about it. And that's usually great, but if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and there's blowing snow, it might not be dark enough for those lights to turn on. And if you have your headlights on, it's so much easier for people to see you. Now, I know that a lot of people are probably sitting in their cars listening and saying, well, all vehicles pretty much now have the running lights that stay on all the time. And that is true, but that doesn't turn on your taillights. And again, in conditions where you have blowing snow, if you can't see a car and all of a sudden you're right on top of it, that can end badly. So turn those headlights on. Then remember, when you get where you're going, when you hear that dinging, don't ignore it. Reach over, turn your lights off, and that's one of the big things. Another thing I'd like to talk about real quick, we've gotten a couple questions the last week or two. People wondering why we are out spreading brine on a sunny day that's 45 degrees. Well, the reason they're out doing that is we have different forecasting services that take into account pavement temperatures, humidity, dew points, wind, and they let us know if and when we can be expecting frost to form. And if that frost forms on bridges or in shaded areas, it can be very slippery in the morning. So what we will do is go out and we will spread the brine in some of the areas we know are prone to frost to keep the roads clean and to keep them safer for people so they don't have to worry about coming up on some unexpected frost. Now, don't get me wrong, it can still form in places that aren't treated, but if you do see our plows out spreading brine, I believe they were out yesterday, if I remember correctly, that's what they're doing. They're out there trying to be proactive to keep the frost off the road and to keep the roads as safe as possible.
Okay, that's right. Good to know.
And of course, you can actually find some of that information on 511ia.org. If you check the weather stations with the alerts or no alerts, it'll actually show if there is the potential for freezing precipitation on pavement, which I actually just found that right now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, there's, and I know I've said it before, go on to that 511 site and just poke around, because like Chris just said, there is so much information out there, and you're not going to break anything. Just go click on things and see what's out there and see what's useful to you, and remember where it is and don't be afraid to use it.
I bet you I could break it. Everything I touch seems to break nowadays.
Ah. Good luck. And if it does break, I know exactly where I'm sending our IT people.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Pete. Once again, Pete Helmstead from the Iowa DOT as part of Community Conversations brought to you by Floyd County Medical Center. Have a great Christmas and a new year.
You guys do the same, and enjoy the weather and enjoy your time with family.
Thanks, Pete. Merry Christmas.
It is.
Merry Christmas.
8:21, your spring-like weather coming up.